It is good to be gathered together today. One thing I might make mention of, the sword and trumpets that came out this month are in your mailboxes. There's some very, very good articles in there this month, as well as there's been some really good ones the last number of months. There's one that's been being addressed in there. There's an article in there that's addressing something that is becoming a little more prevalent in society, and which is talking about total annihilation. If none of you know what that means, it has to do with afterlife of those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior. If you believe in total annihilation, it would be that after you die, you just disappear. Your soul don't go anywhere. Basically, you escape you don't live for eternity after you die. If you're a Christian, you go to heaven, but if you die and you're not a Christian, you're just annihilated. And the overseers had addressed that a little bit at the business meeting and brought that to our attention and some things that were happening there. But one of the overseers, I sat across at one of the meals with one of the overseers, and he said, it just seems like the last 6 or 8 years are just something, one after the other, next, that's just coming out that is against what Scripture would teach, that we have to stay on our toes. And so yeah, there's a good article in there. I think there was an article in maybe the last one that was part of that. I think it's maybe a three-part article on some of that. But there's a lot of other very good articles. So just thought I would mention that, give a little push for that to read it and hopefully understand what Scripture teaches in that area. Appreciated the service so far. Appreciated the songs that we sang, the Sunday school lesson, and I really appreciated the song that we had there about the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I think I mentioned this one other time a couple years ago, but I'd read an article a while back that said that in 80 to 90% of churches in America, there's nothing mentioned anymore about the shed blood and what that does for the remission of our sins. And the author of the article, but he was saying that is very, very troubling to him, because that is in essence of what makes us pure and holy and clean and righteous before God, is because of the shed blood of Jesus that can make us pure and holy before the Lord when we accept Him as our Savior. So thank you for that, Brother Gary, as you led that song this morning. This morning we want to look at the message on submission. I didn't even actually look at the lesson this morning, which I don't normally when I share a message, but I didn't realize how much it may be tied into some of that, not all of it, but thinking about where we are at in life, thinking about whether our hearts are on, whether the seed is falling on good soil, stony soil, thorny soil, or hard soil. But when you hear the word submission, what comes to your mind? The definition is surrender, obedience, to give up, to yield to the power or the authority of something or someone else. Somebody else said surrender and submission kind of brings along the thought of having a docile spirit. So a docile spirit is one that is easy to manage or willing to train. So a thought came to my mind: to be submissive, it takes humility. Thinking about humility, a couple verses that kind of bring some of that out, back in James 4, verse 6 and verse 10, says it like this: but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we see kind of right from the get-go, to be humble, to be submissive, we need to be humble. We need to be willing to have a humble spirit, one that is teachable, one that is workable. You know, I don't know if you've ever done much with clay, or, you know, you think about, and I didn't go back and look the verses up, but where it talks about God being the potter and we are the clay. And if you've ever worked with clay, which I haven't a whole lot, Alex had for a number of years, but I did some when I was in school in art class. But you have a window there you can work with it. I say a window, as your clay is soft and moldable and pliable, and you might have to add a little water at times to keep it going the way you want it to. But if you let that sit for very long, I mean, sometimes it's just several minutes if the air condition is right, and it starts getting hard and you cannot change what is there. So as I was thinking about that, thinking about being humble and having a submissive and willing heart to surrender to the Lord, is one that is continuing to allow God to shape us and to mold us. One that is continuing to be pliable and workable, not one that is getting hard or dried up or distant. Humility begins at the heart, at your heart, a heart that is fully surrendered to the will of God. Humility promotes peace and order in life, and that is especially true within the home and within the church. The opposite of humility is pride. Just a couple verses, Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. We could look at many, many other scriptures in the Bible, verses in the Bible that would bring out some thoughts about that. The title of the message this morning is A Surrendered Life. To be humble and to submit many times is a reflection of what is going on in our heart. To be humble and be submissive, we have to have a heart that is willing to surrender to the Lord and have a love for truth. Brother J. Mark Horst, many years ago, he writes an article in the newsletter they put out each month at Heralds of Hope. And many years ago, I had this there in a stack of stuff that I had, but he had an article called The Love for Truth. Said Winston Churchill once said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing has ever happened. George Barna's survey reveals the lesson: a fourth of those who are born again agree that there is such a thing as absolute truth. I was troubled by that statement. Let me read that again. The survey reveals the lesson: a fourth of those who are born again agree that there is such a thing as absolute truth. Well, if there is no absolute truth, what do we have to stand on? We have nothing to stand on. So it's not surprising then that 60% of that same group, 60% of the ones that would say they're born again, agree that Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and Buddhists, and others all pray to the same God. That was very troubling too, knowing of the falsehood of all of those different groups and different religions. But then I'll just read one more paragraph. In order to love truth, we must first believe it. God chooses to save those who believe the truth. There's a good concept for us to grasp. God chooses to save those who believe the truth. This belief is not mere mental asset. Biblical belief is the acceptance of truth, which with a corresponding change in the life of the believer. It leads us to a deeper understanding of the value of truth and how that value transforms our lives. How is the truth transforming your life? I'll leave off quoting with that. This morning in the message, we want to look a little bit at submission as a whole, not just one specific part of it, but as a whole in all of life. So depending on what your age is and where you're at in life, submission will affect you in different ways. You know, we have submission in the home, submission in marriages, submission in our jobs, submission in the church. Ultimately, it comes to the place of realizing and recognizing whether or not we are willing to be submissive to the Lord. If your heart is not fully submitting and obedient to God, it will become hard and become calloused and become unworkable. You know, as you think about it, God has designed, I call it a chain of command, but you could call it an order, whether it's in the home, you know, the husband, the wife, the children are to be obedient to the parents, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the workplace, there's various other ways that we could look at that. But when we are not willing to walk within the boundaries that God has placed, regardless of what situation you're looking at, everything in life will seem like a burden to us. And many times will lead to sin in our actions and attitude. You know, you think about that just a little bit in the home. If you have a husband and wife that are not, well, if the husband's not willing to love his wife as Christ loved the church, if the wife is not willing to come under the authority of the husband's leadership, and here again, there's a lot of give and take there. The husband needs to be what he needs to be for that to happen. But it snowballs into something that is an ugly and awful situation. And that's the same way it can be with children or in the church. If you're not willing to come within the boundaries of what God has for us, it will create a lot of hardship and hard trials in life. The main text, if you will turn with me at this time, we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. It says in there, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." A lot of good things we could look at here in this passage of Scripture, but the first part we want to look at is submission. When you hear the word submission, what comes to your mind? Sometimes we cringe when we hear that word because of a past experience or a past something that we went through or a past, maybe it was misused with us or maybe it was a hard thing for you to do with something in life. But there in verse 5, the beginning of what we started out looking at there in our text, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." I'm not going to go into a lot of detail there, but there's other places in the Scripture where it talks about the younger learning from the older ones. The older ones being willing to share their experiences of life and the younger ones being willing to hear. So I think there's some of that that comes into play here. You probably could look at this in many other different things. Younger children in the home, you're called to honor and submit to your parents. There's a lot of things we could think about here. But regardless of what stage of life you're at, we all have to work at submission. Did you ever think about that? Submission is not something that comes easily to us always. Maybe in different things, times of life, it's easier than others. But children in the home, you know, I've always said it like this too. You know, all children go through that stage of, I'm not sure what age to put it in, but somewhere between the ages of 13 and 15 through the ages of 20 and 25 where their parents don't know a whole lot and they think they've got everything pretty well figured out. And yeah, and I wonder sometimes why it always has to be that way, but they're becoming adults. They're trying to find their own way in life. They're trying to, and we need to, as parents, help them sometimes sort through that and work through that and help them through that. But everybody goes through those trials. But through it all, we are called to be submissive to those that God has placed over us. I did mention a little bit about this, but Ephesians 5:25 tells us as husbands to love our wives, as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. And that there don't always come easy. To love our wives and to die, we need to die first. We need to be the ones that are willing to give up some of our own ambitions to love our wives and to love them as Christ has loved the church. And then the verse before that, in verse 24 of Ephesians 5, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So there we see bringing out the thought of two things there. The church is subject or submissive unto Christ, but the wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. What about our occupation? Some of us are employees, some of us employers, some of us are employees. We all have a certain level of respect and submission for one another. What about in the church? Here again, God has set up, or Jesus designed the church or gave the way the church should function. He built the church. He said there that he will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He has designed the church the way it should function. Ephesians 5:21 tells us, "Submit to one another in the fear of God." We all know that Christ is the head of the church. But from there on down, he has given different gifts and different abilities and different offices to help the church to function and to continue to accomplish God's will. But there is where the problem arises sometimes. We see so many today that are not willing to submit to the order of the church that Christ has designed. Therefore, they cause disruptions in the body of Christ. Did you ever hear the story of the little boy? I'm sure I've used this illustration before, the story of the little boy where he was standing up on the bench. I think he was about 2 years old, and his mom in church, and his mom was telling him to sit down. He wouldn't sit down. And finally, she said, "You need to sit down," and she sat him down. After a bit, he leaned over, and he said, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." That wasn't really submission. He was doing what his mom made him do, but he was not being willing to submit. And that's not a good place to be either, of just doing it because you're forced to do it or have to do it. That's not what life should be about. Submission is being willing to be surrendered. You know, I had to think as we were going through the Sunday school lesson, the talking about the good ground and the good soil, the soil that, you know, I thought about our fields. We have limestone soil, which grows good crops, but you also have the ridges that are rocky. And in the summer, when it first starts getting dry, over the ridges is where it first starts to roll and starts to curl because it's trying to conserve the moisture. And also on a dry year or a drier year, you can have really good corn in the hollow. When you go up over the hill, you might have half or a third of the crop over one of them ridges that you have in the hollow. But I thought about that in as far as submission and as far as the good soil. Another thing I want to say, when you're in the hollow of a field, many times the topsoil will, over the years, will wash off the ridges and will be a lot deeper in the hollow. My neighbor there is putting in another trench to put some silage in, and they're digging out the soil there. And he said there in the bottom, he said the topsoil is between 3 and 4 feet thick. But as he got up farther, it was only about a foot thick. In our area, it's normally a foot to 15 inches is probably a good average. But as you till the soil in the field like that, as you go through the bottom where the soil is thicker, deeper, and if the weather conditions are right, moisture conditions in the soil are right, the soil in the bottoms is very rich and very dark and very, if you pick up a hand of it, it's very soft. But when you go over them ridges, it's got some clay mixed with it. There's some stones showing through. And it's very, you pick up a handful of that and it's kind of rough and jagged. It's not near as nice and soft feeling as it is in the hollows. But as we thought about that, as we were talking there in the Sunday school lesson of the good soil and the stony soil, and again here about submission, you know, as part of being submissive, we need to be like that soil in the hollows where it's soft and it's workable, it grows good, it just does way better than the soil that's over the ridges and stony and hard. So as we think about that, we need to do that with our lives as well in being submissive. One thing that we need to remember, whether it's in the home or whether it's in the marriage, or whether it's in the church, whether it's in our jobs, occupations, submission promotes unity and harmony. Adam Clark one time made a commentary, in one of his commentaries said it like this. He said, "Too many people want to say they have faith and are willing to submit, but then they want to skip the obedience, and they don't want to do the hard things." Part two we want to look at is humility. See that there in the second part of verse 5 and then verse 6. It says, "Yea, all of you, be subject one to another." In other words, submit one to another and be clothed with humility. Be humble. "For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." The phrase, be clothed with humility. In other words, let humility be like a blanket over your life. Let humility govern what you do in life. Be humble. If we are clothed in humility, it will have an effect on everything we do. Our actions, our responses, our attitudes, which ultimately points back to how humble we are before God. The outward things we see in life are many times a reflection of what is going on within the heart. There at the end of verse 5, it says, "God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble." In other words, he continues to nurture and to give grace and extend grace to those that are humble. Humility goes a long way in promoting submission and being submissive. I thought about this too. You know, submission is a choice, just like many other things in the Christian life. You know, last night, I'm not sure why, I had a dream about 11:30 at night, and I woke up and was able to go back to sleep. Often I'll wake up after a dream. I don't know if that's normal or not. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's okay if it is or not. Then a dog started barking around 1, and I woke up, and I didn't sleep hardly a bit after that. And this morning, I told Lois, I said, if I didn't have to preach and if I wasn't a pastor of a church, this morning would be a good morning to stay home. But, you know, as I said that, you know, all of us have a choice to make. But it's in that moment that wasn't even part of the equation. I wasn't even part of a choice. But as I was thinking about that statement, every morning when we get up, we have a choice to make. Am I going to continue to surrender to the Lord? Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to be a witness to the neighbor I come in contact with? Am I going to be nice to the clerk that maybe isn't so nice to me at this convenience store or the whatever store you go to that day? Am I going to be nice to the milk inspector that shows up that day that maybe isn't so nice to me? I'm sure all of us that are farmers have had that experience before. You know, it's a choice that we make each and every day of our lives. Am I going to be an example of a humble servant, an example of one that is serving the Lord? Thinking about some of that, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, says it like this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. But this is a verse I wanted us to catch mostly. But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He was willing to be submissive and humble to what God's will was for him. The last part we want to look at yet is letting go. Letting go of our cares. There in verse 7 it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, I don't know, sometimes that's not always easiest to do. When we face a hard thing in life, sometimes we try to figure out how to work through it. We try to figure out what we're going to do about it. But if we come to the point of casting our cares upon him, it makes life so much easier. When we cast our cares and our worries and our daily struggles over to the Lord, it shows how much we trust him. Another verse thinking about some of that in Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Sometimes in the midst of the hard things of life and the cares and pressures of this earth, we forget to be humble before God. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, we recognize the fact that God is sovereign and that he is in control. A quote is said like this, don't submit to the circumstances of life. In other words, don't succumb or submit to the circumstances of life, but continue to submit to God who controls the circumstances of life. Another quote said, humility and submission begins with repentance, recognizing our need of a Savior, recognizing that we are small in the midst of his greatness. There are two kinds of people, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those who want to have it their own way and do their own thing. Submission involves sacrifice, giving up of ourselves, being willing to give of ourselves in service for the Lord. Thinking about being willing to give of ourselves in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's a lot we could think about there, but thinking about giving up of ourselves, giving of our lives of a sacrifice. You know, we were bought with a price. We were bought with the price it cost Jesus when he died on the cross. Therefore, we are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And then it closed the last phrase, which are God's. We are really, our bodies, everything we have is God's because we were bought by his son Jesus. You know, I mentioned this there last week when I finished the last message there on the Ten Commandments, but I was thinking about this again, about how much God really cares about us. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to submit to Him. He wants to help carry us through. And He wants to help us. But we must come before God on His terms. We can't come to God and say, God, I have this need. I just need you to do this. I need you to do that, kind of a demanding spirit. No, come to Him submissive and surrendered. Next couple more things we want to look at here at the ending of the message. There in verse 8, Peter reminds us that we need to be on guard. And I believe this is one of the things we need to remember when we, each day too, as we think of life. It says to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, he don't want the seeds and the truth to take good, fall on good soil and to grow and to mature. He wants it to fall on stony soil. He tries to make it stony soil where it'll die out and fall away. If we are going to live a life of surrender and obedience to the Lord, we have to be sober and be watchful. You know, there's one thing that I've come to realizing, and I think it's very true, but Satan doesn't care how he takes you down, but his goal is to take you down one way or another. There's three different ways that I believe he will attack. One is as a subtle serpent, as we've seen with Adam and Eve in other places. Another one the Bible talks about as an angel of light. And here in our passage today, it talks about as a roaring lion. He seeks to kill and to destroy and to tear us down. In James 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Here again, the word submit. But he also, the opposite of that, submit yourselves unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we see that we need to continue to submit and to surrender to the Lord. Verse 9 talks about a steadfast faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Did you ever think about how easy life would be without trials and afflictions? Did you ever wish you didn't have so many afflictions? You know, those that have health problems to one extent or another, you didn't look forward to that. You weren't anticipating that. It causes, can sometimes, I guess you could say, a disruption in your normal routine of life. Brother Aaron's in the hospital, and Brother Dwayne, you just went through some health problems. There's others here that have went through some health problems. Diana, you're in the middle of some health problems. That's not what you anticipated. That's not what you wished for. That's not what you looked for. But it's in the midst of those things I've come to, this is kind of where I'm at in life, to realize that God is still in control. He is sovereign. He knows all about it. It's up to us to continue to surrender and continue to acknowledge His greatness in the midst of the things that we are going through. In verse 10, we have the promise that with God's help, we can continue to climb on. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Just another calming reassurance that God is there for us. A couple more illustrations. Derek Livingston went to one of the darkest parts in Africa as a lone missionary. After some time, his missions committee wrote to him saying, some people would like you to join you. What is the easiest road to get where you are? He replied, if they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay where they are. I want people who will come even if there is no road at all. Sometimes the pathway of the Christian life appears to change from a smooth surfaced road to a stony path, and it's in those times that it may seem like there is no path at all. But God is still asking us to trust Him and to continue to surrender and submit to Him in our lives. D.L. Moody once said, D. D.L. Moody once said, "We may easily be too big for God to use, but never too small. God cannot use anyone unless they recognize how small and how sinful they really were before they were saved." Another quote, "The best way to know God's will is to say, 'I will' to God." Saying, "I will" to God is the best thing any of us can do. Saying, "I will" or "I submit" will bring us life, the living life. So in closing, a couple questions for us to think about. Where am I or where are you at in your walk with God? Are you continuing to submit to Him as your Lord and your Savior? Do we recognize His sovereignty? Do I have a right relationship with the Lord? Have I humbled myself before Him? And am I willing to walk in obedience and submission to Christ and His church? You know, I had to think a little bit, and I wasn't planning to share anything about this, but I was thinking about one of the questions that Brother Roger asked there in Sunday school about how sometimes people go through hard things, and some people turn bitter, and others get better, I guess you could say, or grow more in their faith. And I thought about my mom when I lost my dad, and I can still remember to this day that it was very, very hard for my mom as she each day had to face a new day without him. But in the midst of that, her faith stayed strong, and she continued to I guess, humble herself to what God, the plan that God had for her. And, you know, we see others around us there as well. And I think of another situation that happened, something similar. And the spouse, it was the wife that died in that situation. And the husband became very bitter and turned away from God and very much walked away from the Lord. And all the children followed suit and did not continue to serve the Lord. So as I was thinking about that, you know, it kind of comes back to a daily surrender, a daily giving up of ourselves, a daily submitting to what God has for us in life, even though it's not what we would have chosen. Little palm, I've said this before, but I found this a number of years ago. I have part of the palm in my Bible. There's a longer version of it that I keep there. It's on a plaque on my wall. But I thought it was very fitting. I have it wrote here on my paper, but I also have my little one I have in my Bible. It's called "Don't Quit." When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when the cares is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when we might have won if we stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So in the Christian life, you can stick to the fight when your hardest hit. When things seem worse, that's when you must not quit. And I think in another message, I used that palm, and I forget who it was, but he stood up at a college commencement one time, and he had some compelling words to tell the students, and he said, if you make this a motto of your life, you will succeed. And I look at this as a motto in our Christian life, but never, never, never quit. The stakes are too high for us to ever give up and quit living for the Lord and serving Him. With those thoughts in mind, those of us that conveniently can, let's kneel for prayer.